bitch and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Roop.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yep, we're back again with another episode. And hopefully you guys got to check out the last episode, Enforcing the Law. We had a special guest, right, Big Roop?
Yes, we did. Big Brother H came through and gave us some knowledge of the criminal justice system, well, inside knowledge.
Absolutely, absolutely. So definitely a real insightful conversation. One of the long episodes, but there was just so much to get in. And he blessed us on his birthday, which made it that much more special. So hopefully our listeners enjoyed that and had a good takeaway.
Definitely.
So for tonight's episode, the title is Voting Rights and Wrongs. And we're basically going to talk about some of the political changes we see going on in the country, in certain parts of the country. There's actually an active effort to disenfranchise voters, which is really scary and sad because, you know, these are things that have been happening forever in this country, and many of us didn't have the right to vote or representation. And instead of going in the direction of giving more rights to vote and more access, there's actually efforts to make it harder for citizens to vote, people in good standing. We're not talking about people who don't have the right to vote or unqualified to vote. We're talking about qualified voters. They're trying to reinstitute some form of poll tax or additional identification, show me your papers kind of things. And there's a lot of pushback, obviously.
Yeah, well, I think this happens generally when a result is received that they don't like, and they try to find a way to skew it back to the way they wanted to turn out.
Well, that's a good point. So let's just start with the they, because who is the they, right? Because if we understand that as citizens, you know, we're those of us who are native-born citizens and also naturalized citizens, you know, you're able to vote once you reach the voting age, right, which is 18. You do have to register to vote, so there is a process to fill out the right paperwork and submit your identification at that point. But that's it, you know, that's what it is. You're an American, you're right to vote. And that's not supposed to be obstructed. I mean, literally, every state has its own process and policy, but they're all supposed to basically designed for voters to have the right amount of access to the voting process.
Right, supposed to.
So when we say that there's a they trying to obstruct that, who's the they? Like, what party, not party as far as political party, but what group, what organization, who's the they that was trying to stop legally registered voters from voting?
Well, it could be social groups like the Proud Boys or, you know, there's other organizations that, you know, they feel that certain, I guess, segments of the population are not going to vote in a light that's going to help them. So they try to make it harder for them to vote. Those are not really legally enforceable ways of stopping you trying to vote. I was more talking about, it could be either party, Republican or Democrat, if they were to feel that if they change the rules, they can get a better percentage of the votes, they may do that. They may take away how many sites you are able to vote at, like you said, the requirements of voting in particular states. They have many different factors they can try to influence people who vote.
Okay. Well said. You're right. There are non-elected officials and government officials that have their own reasons for trying to obstruct people from voting. I mean, that simply goes to people sometimes in a bar just trying to, you know, attack other people verbally or otherwise for voting. Then you have, like you emphasize, elected official or party officials, you know, of the major political parties, Republicans and Democrats, for example, that, again, should be there to encourage people to vote, right? Now, you want to win people's votes, but you should encourage them to vote. You shouldn't be the discouraged to vote. And I think that's where this is going, the conversation, that there's an effort to discourage to vote. And let's try to put a why to it, right? Because like we said, whether you're Republican or Democrat or any of the other parties, because again, there are many parties in the United States of America. The Republican Democrats are the two largest parties, but they're not the only parties. But what reason could any political party have to discourage people from voting?
Well, let's look at, say, New York. Basically, New York City has basically been Democrat for years. So if you're a Republican trying to win an office in New York State, you don't want as many polling places in a city as you might want upstate, where they tend to vote more Republican. So you look at different areas to see how they generally vote, and that's where you want to suppress maybe people coming out. You can do it by a lot of different ways. You don't have to say you can't vote. But if there's supposed to be 10 machines working, well, people can go in and make their votes, and only three is working, and it's going to take someone now, instead of going there for half an hour, they got to be there for 5 hours, and they have to go to work that day, they may leave frustrated and not vote. So those are the different things that people can do to try to, you know, turn the tide.
Okay, that's so much steps, but why would they do that? In other words, if we live in a functional democracy where you want to win people's votes as opposed to not letting them vote, why would that happen in a functional democracy?
Because you're talking as a like a purely political standpoint, we want to win votes. There's some people that don't want to win votes, so I figure if I can't win the votes, then if I make the other person get less votes, I can get less votes and I can still win.
Okay. I mean, we're on the same page here. I think we're just trying to illustrate it for our listeners. I mean, the end of the day, you know, when you watch football, you want your team to win. But if there's too many men on the field for the other team or for your team, that should be a flag and you should be in support of that, right? You shouldn't have one team with 14 guys on the field and the other team only has 8 and talk about that's fair. So I think we're going to the point of we're not necessarily going to function as a democracy, right? Because the point is, it's one thing to win enough votes to you know, win the election. It's another thing to suppress people's votes so you win. Those are two very completely different things.
Oh, it is. I think, and I don't know when it's actually started in this country, and maybe it's always been there, but now it seems that there's a thing where I don't care how we win, just win.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet, and me, I'm the last MC still standing.
As opposed to we have a fair and even fight, and the best person wins. No, I want my side to win. I don't care if it's fair. I don't care if we broke the rules. We just want to win.
Right. And you're right. We could probably trace the lineage of voting rights and wrongs, as the title is called today, throughout the history of the country. But I think we can just really narrow it down to this century, this millennia, right? When I say that, the year 2000. We can start right there. We can start with Florida. And we can start with an election that was not only contested, but then went into the court system. And there was so much evidence of voter fraud and suppression and things of that nature. And I may not use the word fraud because that's something that's around too much. But there was definitely some inaccurate and abnormal procedures that were followed in the Florida election to certify the presidency, which wound up going to George Bush. So I think that's a good example of when things went off the rails, because it wasn't that people didn't want George Bush to win. It was the process broke down, and people broke the process down to win.
Exactly.
And I think that led us to where we are now, although even then that was contested and there was still the running back stepped out of bounds, but the referee didn't call it and they scored a touchdown. I think that's probably a good way of looking at that scenario. Whereas we're now dealing with an election that just passed in 2020 where their people saying that the election was fraudulent, that the results are not accurate, that the wrong person was, you know, made president, and that the current president should, the former president should still be in office. And there's no evidence to support this. There's no reason to believe this, yet this is a big cloud right now because a lot of people operate. In fact, our capital was attacked by, I'm using air quotes here, Americans for no reason. In other words, there's no evidence that the election was stolen or anything like that.
Yeah, basically they were able to get people, certain people, into a frenzy. They were, this is something that they primed over the last couple of years, kept telling them that if we lose, we didn't really lose, they stole it. And these people, without any real facts, want to go on that premise and feel as they were wrong. You know, my person won and you guys took it from us. Can he prove it? Of course not. But I just know he was robbed because he's supposed to win.
Exactly. And that's the danger part, right? That not only can I not really prove it, I'm not even making a great effort to prove it. I'm just simply saying it happened. And in fact, you're the bad guys, right? So why do I have to prove what you did? And again, we always talk about this. So there was last episode, right? How can someone stop something they're not doing? How can someone unprove something that never happened? And that's the problem. You put it, it's almost a false negative, right? You got to show evidence that that there is an election. No, you got to show that you got that there's a fraudulent election. No, you got to show evidence that there isn't. There is no evidence that there isn't, right? Because there's no evidence that there was. But you're putting it on the other person to unprove something that didn't happen. You have to prove that the election was fraudulent.
Yeah, if you want to trace it back to me, you trace some of the stuff back to when we start asking a president for his birth certificate. That make no sense. Nobody, no other president in the history of the country ever got asked for their birth certificate when they're known to be a natural citizen. But somehow this became news. It became a story.
Agreed. And that's a good place we could target it there, because that probably does tie directly to the current situation we're in. The only reason I went back to the 2000 election was because I think that was the first time in modern history where the system itself kind of stalled. I won't say it failed, but it stalled. In other words, it wasn't a clear election, and it then became part of the judicial process, right?
Well, yeah, I think you're right, because I think that's the first time that we couldn't decide when a vote was a vote. Oh, it looks like it's a vote, but we don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? You're supposed to know it's checked off or not.
Absolutely. And I definitely agree with you. So that to me was just, again, going back to the modern era, that's where the system didn't work the way it was supposed to. And that kind of was okay, meaning the judicial branch is not supposed to play a part in political elections, right? They're not. That's the point. There's not supposed to be a court issue unless something fraudulent is done. It's supposed to be that, you know, all of the electoral laws are followed and the winner of the electoral college is the president. So, again, that's where I think it started as far as the system itself kind of having some cracks. But to the point you made, right, after the 2008 election of President Obama, there was a concerted effort to just undermine him as a person and just as an elected official, right? How do we know he's really the president if he's not really a citizen? And you're right. That was definitely a whistle to the fringe right and the racists in the country to say that, well, he has to prove he's a citizen, even though, right, that's part of the vetting process to even run for president. So that's long been secured, but it was more, like you said, we don't like the results of it, so prove you're supposed to be here.
Yeah, which is totally ludicrous. And you think about it from people that have been born here, like me and you. By the time you go to school, you have to show your birth certificate. You got to show, as you get older, your driver's license. You know, you show documents. And to get each document, you have to have other documents to prove who you are. So like you said, by the time he's been here and he's been in office for other things he's run for, we know this man is a United States citizen. So just to bring it up it's totally disrespectful. But again, the person bringing it up, the same person that anything that comes out in the media that he doesn't like is fake news. Not that it's wrong news, it's fake news. Who goes around making fake news? What are you talking about? This country's been had these great institutions for years. No one ever questions the press because usually they have to get sources and everything else. He's the only one I've ever heard that this can go around and, you know, a fact that's been there for 200 years. Oh, that's fake news. And people believe him.
Exactly. And that's kind of the point. People believe him, right? So in other words, he says something is fake and people take it as fake. Obviously, we're talking about the last president,
45,
who lost the last election. But that's the point. So as far as what you said, right, you put a lot of information out there, the breakdown of institutions, the assault on individuals, right? Because, again, this all plays into voting rights, because the whole point of voting rights is supposed to be institutional norms and rules and procedures that reflect the wishes of each individual. So, again, individuals aren't supposed to be targeted, be it as voters or as elected officials. And the institutions and the rules that they provide are supposed to make sure this happens, right? So, again, there's no evidence by the institutions themselves. I mean, every state that had to certify the presidential election did so. They all acknowledged that President Biden was number 46, that he did win the vote legitimately. And that's supposed to be all it takes. Yet we're doing this episode today, voting rights and wrong, because there's still efforts to undermine the election. There's still efforts to, decertify the election of Joe Biden. Like, even right now today in Arizona, they're still doing recounts or some type of auditing process to determine the nature of the votes.
So what do they plan to prove if it's a different result after all this time? Not the president?
Basically, yes. I don't believe that that's something that is going to generally happen because the process has been done already. But I think it goes hand in hand with other processes to change the rules. So I think what they're kind of using is building a case that the rules were abused, which is why we have to change them. So whether they're successful or not is one thing, but it's really the why of it right now. So it's really the fact that we're not accepting the electoral votes, the electoral results. So we're either trying to change them now, which, again, I'm with you, I don't believe that that's going to actually happen, but there's still an effort to do it. But more importantly, we're going to use whatever information we get from everywhere to verify why we're making these changes, which goes to the next point of our conversation. They are making changes in Georgia, in Florida, in Texas, I believe, right? So there are voting rights changes that are being put in place to disenfranchise voters.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Who would have thought in 2021 we'd still be at this crossroads?
Exactly. I feel bad because there were people who did feel this way and did express these things. You kind of push them to the side thinking they were being overly paranoid and that they weren't trusting the system and that they were somehow out of touch. And now sometimes some of these people seem to be more present than other people when they show you that, no, the system is not as secure as we believe it is, right? It's strong. But I don't think anybody questions the strength of the system. I think it's the security of the system, right? Is it secure? You know, 2000 was one level of the security being kind of threatened. And 2016 was, you know, not so much, but the process is what it is. But by 2020, 20 years later from 2000, we see the system almost break. And I mean, not because of the rules of the system, because people chose not to follow the rules of the system.
I mean, let me ask you a question, and I'm totally on the same page. Each state makes their own voting laws?
Yes. So you have federal voting laws. So you have, again, I'm not an expert in this either, to our listeners, but just understand. So there's federal voting laws that each state's laws have to meet particular mandates. So in other words, Georgia gets to decide how Georgia's votes are counted, but they still have to tally up in a way that can be applied towards the Electoral College or towards the national, towards the federal election. So that's why you get early voting in this state and not this state. You get mail-in voting in this state, but not this state. So it's not uniform state to state, but the end results have to be usable by the federal electoral process.
What about the qualification to vote? Can I tell you that you have to be able to dunk a basketball to vote?
Basically, yes. That's a very great example. And basically, yes. Georgia, again, or Tennessee could say you have to be able to dunk. And then that's where the Voting Rights Act of 65 was put in place to remove some of those standards. Because prior to it, that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing in the South. They would put unfair restrictions on certain voters, blacks, let's just be honest, to disenfranchise them for voting. And the Voting Rights Act was put in place to remove that, or to minimize, I should say. And so it was basically a Band-Aid or a crutch to kind of prop up the system. It didn't really fix it, but it was there to kind of support it. And what they're basically doing is chopping down the crutch. Let's just chop it down. So like you said, whether you have to dunk a basketball, have this ID, wait in line 12 hours, and things of that, they're making it harder to vote. I think that's what it just comes down to, the spirit of what they're doing. They're trying to make it harder for people to vote as opposed to voting as easy as possible or just maintaining a normal voting process.
Okay, no, I just wanted the clarification on that because I remember I was watching a movie about those times and the person was trying to vote and, well, registered to vote, and they had them answering all kinds of questions about the Constitution. I'm like, I'd fail. I don't know what the hell, you know, what they're talking about. I definitely wouldn't be allowed to vote.
Exactly. Especially when everyone's not asked the same questions. See, that's really the whole point. It's one thing. It's still not legal to do it per se. But if you ask everyone the same questions and, hey, if you can't answer questions, you can't come. But that's still not legal, by the way, right? But at least you say it's fair. The thing is, they don't ask you the same question. They're picking and choosing who they ask the questions to. So that's when they're like, whoa. So the Voting Rights Act was supposed to basically erase that, saying, no. You're a citizen. This is the minimum. This is the bare minimum you need to be able to vote. And that's it. And, but in any case, there is definitely a concerted effort to alter, change the voting process and directly make it harder for some people to vote. I guess people more knowledgeable than us can sit down and break down the particulars of it. But I guess the next point would be, what can we do about it, right? Because if we're American citizens and we're watching our rights stripped away in front of us, if we're watching our ability to vote and participate in the political process stripped away in front of us, what's the next thing to do?
Well, obviously the next thing to do is to, well, one, find out what you can do. Who are you supposed to contact? Who can help us in this struggle to keep our rights? Because obviously these are rights that have been long fought for, and we don't just want to give them away or let them be taken from us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I like the way that you asked and stated that, because the thing is, right, if you look at what happened with the last election cycle and even the results that led to January 6th when the Capitol was invaded, what more could those people have done had they felt that the election wasn't secure, right? Because what a lot of them are saying is, again, one, there's no evidence that the election was stolen or anything fraudulent happened on a grand scale. But two, basically, they said, well, guess what? We don't have the results we want, so we can just storm the Capitol, right? So you see how you said, okay, we need to find out, I mean, anyone who feels they've been disenfranchised, what is the legal, what is the right way to follow the process, right? Because we don't want another reenactment of January 6th on the other side, right? That's the thing. We don't want that. If you believe in a functional democracy, you don't want to take it to that point. Not that it is or isn't. again, your question was, what can we do within the process to maintain the process?
Yeah, because not only the system is totally broken, and some people are trying to push it to the extremities to get it to manipulate it to their liking or what they want to happen.
Exactly. So, based on what you just put out to our listeners, what can we do? Former Georgia governor candidate Stacey Abrams has started something that we can all do. She started a Fair Action Committee. I believe that's the name of it. I'll get the name right here. But basically, she's being a big advocate for fair. It's called Fair Fight Action, and I believe it's an activist group. I guess you can go to. I guess you could just Google it. That's the easy way to find out about it. Fair Fight Action. I think there's something else she has related to it. But basically, by most accounts, her electoral vote was possibly stolen. Her campaign for governor in 2018 in Georgia was possibly stolen. The current governor at the time was the Secretary of State. And I believe there was some question to whether how he certified the vote or whatever. In any case, he is the sitting governor. It is what it is. And because people possibly were disenfranchised, I believe she made it a mission of hers to work to secure fair voting for everyone, not just in the state of Georgia, but yes, that's her home, but just in general, saying no. The right to vote is a fundamental right, and she was going to kind of support it. So I think that our listeners can definitely look into it. Fair Fight Action, Stacey Abrams. And this is something I think that everyone needs to not just pay attention to, but basically find a way to get involved with, to get as much information as they can, like you said, and to figure out what the next step is.
Good information. Because if we allow them to, when I say them, different powers that's trying to manipulate the system to their liking and don't do anything, eventually we'll have no power, no rights to vote.
Exactly. And again, I think what you're, putting out for our listeners, and I'm echoing it, is that we need to work with the system as long as it works to maintain the system, right? There are some people who want to either break the system or manipulate it, and there are some people who don't care about the system. I think January 6th was an example of people that didn't care about the system. I'm sure that there are some people who were frustrated and felt pushed to the brink. Not realistically so, in the sense that, again, there was no fraud on a mass scale to say the election was stolen, but people felt that way. And instead of them continuing along a process of what else can we do within the system, they basically said, screw the system, right? We're just going to show up with our, we're just going to overrun the Capitol, right? And that's a loss. I mean, if any American feels that that's what has to be done, then we have to acknowledge that the system's already broken then. That's a loss.
Those people reminded me of the people who were oppressed by the British and decided that they wanted to have their own country. And I don't think that's the case here, but that's how radical they were thinking.
Right. And what I'm saying is, to that point, is let's say the system breaks down on every level and your rights are taken away, and then you feel you're at the point. That's where your knowledge in the system is lost. That's why there's no way to look at what they did and say that there was anything noble about it, right? Because like you said, the system wasn't at that point yet. How do we know? Because we're 4 months later and we're all functioning, right? So the system is still working. It's, again, like you said, some people weren't happy with the outcome that the system put out and decided to say the system's broken, right? System's not broken because we're still living. We're still existing. We're still functioning, right? So, again, you don't want to get to that point, one, because you don't want the system to break down. No rational person wants the system to break down. And if you get to that kind of a point, that's basically saying the system is broken. So, like you said, okay, what can we do within the system to maintain the system?
I totally agree.
So, for our listeners, again, I would definitely say Google Stacey Abrams, but more importantly, I would say Google Fair Fight Action. And the reason why I say it is that it's not about Stacey Abrams' personal fight. It is about our collective fight. And the name of her organization basically says it all, fair fight, right? We want fair elections. And if the, I don't want to say the other side, but that's what Brissy breaks down to. If that's what they're after, then we should, then we want the same thing, right? If they're trying to get fair elections, we want fair elections, fine, right? That's the whole point of an open process. If they don't want fair elections and we want fair elections, well, then we still have to do what we need to do to make sure elections are fair. Because, again, we're trying to maintain the system, right? We're trying to not have it break down where voting doesn't matter anymore and then other things take the place. Now, again, if people on the other side feel the same way, then we have the same goal, right? We want everything to be fair. If people on the other side don't want the same thing and they just want it to break down, well, then we still have to do what we have to do on our side to try to maintain the system as best as we can.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
And then whatever happens, happens, because you can't control everything. But we're acknowledging that there's steps like fair fight action to work within the system as opposed to show up at the Capitol and overrun it.
No, that's true. You know, violence in this state is not the answer.
Exactly. Not when you claim to love a country, a nation, and the rules and the ideas that it puts out. When you claim to love those things, then you're supposed to work and support those things.
No, I agree 100%.
So, again, today's episode, Voting Rights and Wrongs, I think we hopefully gave our listeners both the voting rights and the things that are being challenged and the things that have been working and the things that are being suppressed, which leads to the wrongs, right? Because, again, we want fair elections. The weird thing is that I think President Biden won by, I believe, roughly the same margin that former President Trump won by. And the funny thing is that all the disappointment, whatever, and a lot of things, people kind of accepted, you know, the results of the Trump election, disappointedly, but accepted it. Then evidence started coming out that Russia was involved with some of the hacks.
Right. It was manipulation and things like that.
Right. And even at that point, no one, for the most part, said he wasn't the legitimate president. Yes, you had people on the fringes, maybe the left, saying it. But for the most part, we said, well, hey, he won. Even President Obama, hey, he won. When it's time for transition of power, President Obama, welcome to the White House. Hey, let's do this, because this is what the system is. And then 4 years later, again, he basically lost by the same margin that Hillary Clinton lost. Totally different. I can't lose. It doesn't matter. The numbers don't work. Same numbers work for you. Same process. Same exact process. Right? It's just that when you score a touchdown, you want everybody to celebrate. When someone else scores a touchdown, the game's not right.
Yeah, basically, yeah, it's supposed to work for me because no one wants Hillary to be president. But, it's, you know, when it's my turn, I'll have to step down. It's not right.
Exactly. And you can't even say no one wants Hillary to be president because she basically had the same amount of votes, roughly, as you. Yes, there was more of a raw count this time around for you than for her. But last time there was more of a rough count for her than for you, and she won the popular vote. So clearly lots of people wanted her to be president, but the system worked the way it did, and you won the key areas she had to win to be the next president. And then Joe Biden did the same thing. So as for our listeners, voting rights are wrong. I mean, the rules are supposed to be the same for everybody, right? And from President Clinton to President Bush, from President Bush to President Obama, from President Obama to President Trump, from President Trump to President Biden. Everything has been the same except when President Trump decided the rules don't work for me because they don't work for me. And that's wrong. Like, that's just not how the electoral process is supposed to work.
No, well, everything you said, 100% true, 100% accurate.
Okay. Well, I guess we've kind of put out our call to action, but just to solidify it with our listeners, today's episode, Voting Rights and Wrongs. Any particular call to action, any area of focus that you want our listeners to really just gravitate towards?
No, I think what you said was key to investigate the organization, CCASM set up. Also on the local level, I mean, again, know who your representatives are. And if you go to vote and you see something that's not copacetic, you know, someone's trying to influence people to vote or strong arming or whatever, then you want to make sure that you say something. You know, some people, you know, are stronger than others and are able to have a better influence or a better, able to speak up for themselves, so to speak. So someone might go there and not feel they have a right to speak up. And if you can speak up for them, you know, take advantage of that.
Well said. Well said. That's a really good one, because you're right. Sometimes some of us have an easier way of going about it, and we're just kind of full of ourselves. And you're right. Somebody else can use your help, and you can see that they either use your help or they're being treated wrongly, and you do have the ability to help. So that's a really good one, actually. We have to realize we are in it together and support each other, and we don't do that enough. So I really like that one.
Yeah, that's one thing I kind of learned from Mom. You know, Mom would always, she's very quiet, but no one's ever going to shortchange her or disrespect her or her children. She's going to make sure that what was due to her was given to her.
Exactly, and speak up. Well said, well said. That's a good way to remember our mom day after Mother's Day, and also, you know, just to keep her memory with us, because she's the reason why we're here and we're able to do what we do. So that's definitely a good thing to share.
Great, great, great. But that would be, my call to action.
And that's a good one. I really do like that one. And I think that's one we have to really keep with us, because I think to follow your call to action, which I really do like, again, go Google Fair Fight Action, follow it, see how you can get engaged with it. We're going to do that ourselves just to, you know, make ourselves more aware of it and just see what the next step of the process is. Like Ben Group said, there's other entities out there you can join as well. But it's just that one is literally designed for the fight that we're talking about, right? And when I say the fight, we're talking about voting rights, right? We know about the wrongs, we talk about the rights. And we have to do everything we can to maintain these rights that people have fought so hard prior to us to make sure we have, so we can't just give it away. And again, like Big Root said, on the local level, every level. So I think Fair Fight Action is the call to action today, just to figure out how we can all be engaged in the voting process. And I'll just finish that off with saying, care more. We have to care more. We have to realize that we're voting for ourselves, right? We are America. This country is us. The institutions that reflect are there for us. So we have to, like, really, really take the time to, like you said, learn who our local officials are, know how the system works, make our votes count, and we have to fight, fair fight.
Well said.
No, same. That was a really good example. And I'm definitely glad that you, brought Mom into this episode to, make sure that we do the right thing. Cause that's basically the thing that she taught us personally and just in life. So when it comes to voting in this country, we have to do the right thing, because that it's a matter of life and death. Like, it honestly is, not to be overly dramatic with it, but it really is probably the most serious thing we have in this country. So, again, today's episode is voting rights and wrongs. Pay attention to what's going on out there, and let's all do our part. And with that said, I am Sean P.
I'm Big Group.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.